Tomorrow night, don't miss the exclusive reveal of the next college football rankings. What will happen after Oregon's big loss? Reese and the crew breaking them down top to bottom, 7 Eastern tomorrow on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Meanwhile, something new for you here. It's called Rex is Outraged.
Yeah.
Rex, what are you outraged
Man,
about?
Man, I'm outraged by, look at this little thing. Nice little run by Hilaire. That's 15-yard penalty. I'm outraged by that. What? I'm outraged by that little thing. It's like, give me a break. But the worst was what happened to Detroit.
Yeah.
All right? They're way down in the Cleveland's territory. But where's this mysterious flag comes in? Because somebody was talking to guard, talked to Clowney, and he goes, hey, listen, you know, there's something about your mom or whatever. 15-yard penalty.
Now, don't forget. About your mom
now, here's
whatever.
The great thing. Clowney had already punched somebody in the face, but
that's
no
okay.
penalty there.
That's okay.
But if you say something about somebody's mother
watching,
or whatever.
The kids are watching.
Nobody heard it. Nobody heard it.
Hey,
and
man.
You're going to let it go in the field. Every single play. Somebody's mom's getting talked about. Am I wrong?
Man,
like, something happens like,
you ain't
in
lying.
The NFL.
You
I told
no lies.
Fair enough. With that, we welcome you back to another
You guys didn't have that at journalism school?
No. My mother went unscathed through my entire school. We'll come to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Cindy, roll something. It's time to get up with the Cowboys, where the D in Big D stands for disappointment and despair. Lots to get into in that game. We will start there. Then we'll get to the leader of the pack. Well, he was his spectacular self, but it wasn't enough. Did we see the real weakness exposed for Green Bay? And, oh, LeBron James, we had the bow. We had the blood. Is he going to get suspended? There's a lot to unpack. Let's do it in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now with the game of the year, I thought, in many ways, what we're going to learn about Dak and the Cowboys. What would we see from Mahomes and the Chiefs? Well, it turned out to be just that interesting. Early, Tyreek.
Yeah, what we learned is the Chiefs' play calling felt bad. They get to that bunch, shed three tight ends, man coverage, fake one way, they bring Tyreek Hill across the other way, and then I love this down in the red zone, you snap it to your tight end at quarterback, zone read, touchdown Kansas City.
Extra point no good, 6-0 Kansas City. And then the theme of the day, Ryan Clark, was this defense for KC.
Kansas City's defense was the dominant unit on the field the entire day, and it started with Chris Jones. He's right now picking out his land in Dallas because he owns a piece of the Dallas Cowboys.
The Chiefs would turn that into a field goal, so it's 9-0. Then Mahomes didn't have an explosive day, Danny, but here's a nice play to Byron Pringle.
Pump fake. You get your corner, Trayvon Diggs, just to sit on that out route. He's supposed to be deep, and you replace him with Pringle. You talked about the eyes 2 months ago.
And that sets up this. Here's that nice little pitch to Edwards-Helaire.
A little reverse option. You got to attack the defense. You get them to commit to you. You kick it to the perimeter.
All right, Rex, how about Micah Parsons?
How about him? We've already said we gave him the award, what? First week, he gave the rookie of the year, and he's going to get it, defensive rookie of the year.
He certainly had himself going. Meanwhile, very end of the half here, Dak, that's a bad throw.
Someone told me that he's got a phenomenal defensive back coach. They take the shot.
Phenomenal.
He's like the best in the business?
The best in the business. His defensive back trainer, I think his name is Ryan Clark.
Ryan Clark.
Best in the business.
By the way, C.D. Lamb bangs his head. Concussion did not return.
That was huge.
Huge moment in the game. Fourth quarter now. Dallas down 13. More Chris Jones.
Well, they walked the linebacker up, so it forces Chris Jones to be one-on-one with the backup guard. That's a beautiful job. Then Chris Jones is going to go, hey, I got it, against the Hall of Famer, Zach Martin. Whoops him physically, both effort and dominant hands. And then there's going to be a moment, Green, when he goes, you know what, I can't get home. And I'm going to do is put both my hands up, tip the ball. Dak's trying to fit a seam in.
Dominant turnover
for this defense.
Dominant football.
Chris Jones had 3.5 sacks in the game, and that tip pass, which leads to an interception, that locks it up. The KC Chiefs with a statement win. Dallas, a lot of questions coming off this one. 19-9. Everything's up to date in Kansas City.
I think offensively, we still got stuff to work on. But defense, man, they've been rolling. And kind of through these struggles, even though we weren't playing good offensively, people kind of lost track of how our defense has been playing. And to go up against offense like that and to play like that, that's a special thing to do.
I'm pissed when I don't play well, or the team doesn't play well, or the offense doesn't play well for the fact of tonight in general. And I'm sure we got to put it past us. We know the stretch ahead, so there's a lot that we can learn from tonight. And this is a resilient team that's going to continue to fight and get better. I can promise you that.
So much to unpack here. You know, Rex, you compared this to a championship fight. And the expression in boxing is, in order to be the champ, you got to beat the champ.
Right.
And I know Kansas City is not technically the champ, but they're that caliber of team. Why didn't the Cowboys get it done?
Dallas walked in after, you know, whipping some lesser fighters and all that and convinced themselves they were ready to go. And as soon as that bell rang, it's like, uh-oh, pow, they got hit in the face, and they're like, oh, this might not be our day,
right,
and we might not be ready for it. That's what it showed. And the thing I'm most disappointed about is they allow themselves to become one-dimensional.
Yeah.
We can't run the ball because Kansas City was running some run blitzes, and Dan's going to talk about that later. But they had no adjustments there. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as CeeDee Lamb went out, it was like, it almost felt like they had no chance in the game.
Well, you talked about the run blitz. I thought Dallas played scared.
Yeah.
And what happened was the Kansas City Chiefs lined up early on in this football game and said, we're going to play man coverage. Mm-hmm. We don't fear your guys on the edge.
100%.
You will not run the football against us. Rex, you talked about those run blitzes, and that's exactly what they did. They're going to bring edge pressure early on. This is first down tendency, run the football, come off the edge, unblocked. That's a knockback. Another first down. You're going to line up. Here comes a tendency. Watch Matthew up top and edge pressure again. They blitz off the edge. The defensive line condensed. Another unblocked defender. Another first down run. 3-by-1. The Cowboys want to run to the bottom of the screen. Here comes the nickel edge pressure again. This is a run pressure. Chris Jones gets the slant. He swims, gets over the top, and makes the play. Steve Spagnuolo called run blitzes and run situations and said, we are not scared of you throwing the football. We'll play man coverage. I thought he dominated. I thought he dominated Kellen Moore.
Yep.
And Chris Jones was the best football player on the field.
Here's the statement I make. Betting is huge now. If I had a crystal ball and I told all the bettors in the world the Kansas City Chiefs are going to score 19 points yesterday,
take my money.
Everybody would have
taken my dollars.
Yeah. Everybody in the world would have taken the Dallas Cowboys.
Which brilliantly brings us to the next point, which we really barely touched on in our first hour of our program because there was so much to dive. But the reality of it is, Dak Prescott did not have a good day.
No,
he looked off. I know Cooper wasn't there. All that, but the very first play of the game, it looked to me
missed
like he had a big play to Michael Gallup, and he missed him. And he had some. And he did not play a good game yesterday.
Yeah, I thought Dak was inaccurate. Mm-hmm. I thought he played hurried. I thought his communication was really bad, and that's a big deal in that environment with an offensive line that's
tough
playing.
Place to play too.
Yeah,
man.
But that's, you got to go into that game thinking I'm not going to play poorly because of the lack of communication from myself, my bigs, my guys outside. Yeah, Dak Prescott played bad, and if we're going to sit here and praise him when he plays well and is the MVP, which he's had moments this year, listen, you paid him 160 clams. For games like that, and this is a conversation that people don't like to hear, but I've talked about it for years. When your guys are out, how good are you?
Mm-hmm.
When your guys are out, when Tyron Smith is out, Amari goes out, CD doesn't play, can you – we watched Lamar Jackson do it all stinking year.
100%. No, you're right, bro.
And I think it's fair to say that was a game that Dak had the opportunity to go – I'm really a difference maker.
I feel like when you watch football games start, I can tell you what the week in the building was like. Right?
Yeah.
At the beginning of a football game, I can tell, like, if Rex comes in on Monday and he's hot as hell from the beginning of the week, that's how you start a football game because he's going to coach that way through the entire week. I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs coaching staff understood the gravity of this game.
Yeah.
And this team walked into the stadium ready to dominate physically against the Kansas City Chiefs. They hustled. They hit. This was a different Kansas City Chiefs football team than we've seen.
Can I also make a different point here, Rex, which I think the uniqueness of this season, it's not an excuse. Sometimes it's a reason. They had Amari Cooper in practice all week long.
Right.
These COVID circumstances, it's not like you have an injured player. They didn't know they weren't going to have Amari Cooper until it was too late to plan a game around not having him, and then they lose CeeDee Lamb. So some things are excuses. Other things are reasons. Are you worried about the Cowboys right now?
I'm not worried about them, but, I mean, it seems like they need everything. You know, they got to have your tackle. It seems like, you know, you got to have Cooper. You got to have CeeDee Lamb. You got to have your two best pass rushers outside of Micah Parsons, obviously.
Yeah.
You got to have everything for you to be. Well, you know, it's always an excuse. Well, you know, we never had our tackle.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have our passer. We didn't have this. We didn't have that or whatever. You know what it reads like? Somebody's a paper champion.
Ooh.
That's what it reads like.
Ooh. I think the big thing I look at in this game when we talk about the guys being out, I could make an excuse that, okay, Dak Prescott didn't step up when Noah Brown, who's playing for CeeDee Lamb,
sure,
drops football.
Right.
So you got to say, okay, maybe Amari Cooper catches
that.
When
game,
Cedric
right?
Wilson does the same thing, you got to say, okay, maybe CeeDee Lamb catches that. The other part is this, though, and I think Dan made a great point. When all those things go away, now I want to see Dak Prescott take the team and himself to a different level.
Yeah.
And I believe that Dak Prescott can. And I believe he had some moments where he tried, but they just fell short. When you come into the week and you're saying, you know what, this is not about me proving myself, I think that matters to you. I think that's part of your energy.
Yeah.
And he has to come out now, very much like they did against after the Denver Broncos, and prove himself.
Well, because going into the game, you know your guys are out. I mean, the first play of the game, he misses the touchdown. The third play of the game is the sack fumble.
Yeah.
You got to have the mindset that I know my guys are out. I'm not going to be a reason why we lose the football game. I'll go back to this. I thought his communication was poor. That was the most disappointing thing. There's three times when the Chiefs are, here comes our all-out pressure.
They
force him to check on the screen, and they're like, gotcha. You know, that is a poor plan of communication, and that falls on the coach and it falls on the quarterback.
They have two games in the next 11 days, by the way. Remember, they play Thursday and then again the following Thursday. So they have the Raiders on Thanksgiving night, and then they play New Orleans, which is struggling, but they have a good defense. We'll see where the Cowboys are by a week from Friday. In the meantime, the big controversial moment yesterday happened in the NBA, Lakers, Pistons, in a game that, by the way, Detroit was winning at the time. Just watch LeBron James and Isaiah Stewart on the free throw line. Ryan Clark, what do we see here?
Listen, LeBron James throws this elbow or this hand on purpose. And now, we've seen LeBron James be the model citizen as a player and as a man throughout his career. He made a mistake. I think he knows he made a mistake, but now the NBA has to treat LeBron James like he's not LeBron James, like he's just a random player who broke the rules.
It was a flagrant two. He did get thrown out. There's a lot of suspicion or question as to whether he'll get suspended or not. That's what RC is talking about. Meanwhile, Rex, in the ensuing fight, you made an observation.
Yeah, no, when I see this, it's funny because in a basketball fight, everybody grabs
their guy.
You know, their own guy. In an NFL fight, everybody grabs the other team's color. So I think that's the difference.
Yeah, and this one, again, Isaiah Stewart was frustrated. Ultimately, he's led off, and as I mentioned, LeBron was thrown out of the game for a flagrant two. Lakers then turned the game around completely and won. But again, the big question is, will LeBron get suspended? We'll probably find out today. As we continue, a thriller in Minnesota. Aaron Rodgers, spectacular. But was it enough to overcome a red-hot Vikings offense? We're talking about that. Plus, Buffalo. The Bills go down again, this time in embarrassing fashion. Are they in real trouble? We'll answer that question next. Get up on ESPN. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. We are back on Get Up, and if you didn't stay up late last night, you missed an unbelievable finish. Chargers, Steelers, fourth quarter. Steelers are down 2 touchdowns, so they need a big play to turn it, and they get it on special teams.
Hey, McAfee, can you get your unit to block the inside so we don't get punt blocked?
We don't want to block.
Huge turn of events for the Steelers special teams.
And here's another huge turn of events, because the Charger defense holds. It's a fourth and goal. But they get the pass interference on the fourth down.
Right call. You know, Claypool's rolling inside on that slant. He gets it early, don't you think?
Oh, he's definitely early. We'll take it.
Yep. And then they hand it off to Najee Harris. You get Najee, turn around, hand it off to him. He goes airborne for the touchdown.
So now it's a 7-point game. Then Rex Ryan, how about the wheels on your guy Justin Herbert?
Yeah, man. How about that? Under 4.6, but you know what? He's not an alpha guy. Yeah, right. Only the best quarterback in the league.
No one loves anyone the way Rex loves Justin Herbert. He had 90 yards rushing, and then Austin Eckler had a great day.
Yeah, his balance is fantastic. He told everybody he had himself in fantasy worth 41 points. Looked like it.
Yeah, he had four touchdowns. Then here comes Ben, Deontay Johnson.
Why are you so frustrated?
All Deontay Johnson does is run slanting go routes. Can somebody on defense cover it?
That sets up this. Eric Ebron and the Steelers are within seven.
Yeah, nice job by Ebron jumping over that defender with the 4-inch vertical and scoring a touchdown.
Then, RC, we got ourselves a deflection.
Listen, hey, tips and overthrows.
Gotta get those.
Hey, Cam Hayward, he sticks up those big paws that he fought with every single day in training camp his rookie year. This dude is a baller. Great play by Sutton.
They take over, and then they bring in the tight end, Danny.
Yeah, nice job. Frymuth by himself. Screen. Those offensive linemen get out front. Touchdown, Pittsburgh.
Tied at 34. Then the Chargers go for it on fourth down, and they don't get it. So the Steelers get it back. They wind up with a fourth down. They do kick the field goal. Chris Boswell is good, so the Steelers have a three-point lead. Next Charger possession, where's their magic? Why is Mike Williams this open?
Well, the Steelers run trap pressure. They think that he's going to throw it to the slot to Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen hooks up, too.
Over the top, beautiful throw, in stride to Mike Williams. So
by the way, Herbert's the smartest player on the field, too.
That's your game winner from Herbert.
You don't like Justin Herbert, do you?
382 yards passing and three touchdowns, so they get the big win. Then, were the Colts and the Bills, two words, Dan, Jonathan Taylor.
Three letters, MVP. After yesterday, he's the MVP of the NFL. Dominant run game to start.
That was their first drive, and he takes it in.
Don't do it.
Then Josh Allen, is bad.
Yeah, it's two-man. You had penalties. The safety sees the in-breaker. He drives it.
Guess what, Josh? You only die once, too. Stop throwing the football to the other team. Your team cannot win that way.
And you can't do it against the Colts. They're number one in the league on points off turnovers.
I like this. A little bit of flash fake. You half-roll the quarterback. Jonathan Taylor out there.
Joystick.
Colts score a touchdown. 14-0. Late second quarter. Isaiah Rex, this is a disaster.
It sure is. Man, he's not even hit.
Patrick Swayze strikes again.
He's not even touched. Isaiah McKenzie goes down and fumbles.
Aaron Donald invisible?
Without being touched. And that turns into this. Practically a scoop and score because they then score. Jonathan Taylor's third touchdown. Colts up 24-7 at the half. Now Josh Allen is in desperation mode, Dan, and that's bad.
Yeah, this is awesome, though, by this run game for the Colts. You know, you get tight end wham. You can't arm tackle Jonathan Taylor. He hits him with that little dead leg high step.
He fast.
That's a tremendous play there. That's Taylor working it around. Taylor, five touchdowns on the day.
Set him. You set the defender outside. You get him to overcommit. You get up under inside touchdowns. Another one. We're just going to hand it off to Jonathan.
Can we talk about what's truly amazing about this whole video? The fact that Carson Wentz did a great job handing off.
He sure did.
You got to give credit where it's due. The Colts are playing great. The Bills, meanwhile, are really in some trouble. New England now is in first place in the AFC East.
Who, Greeny?
Colts have won 5 out of 6. RC, you said it. RC has made a habit of being right lately. One of the themes on the show has been RC was right.
One of the larger habits I'm making is patting myself on the back. And that's what I'm going to do again.
You know what? You shouldn't be alone in this.
Thank you very much.
Take it from Rex, who credits himself with everything he ever gets right.
It's genius.
That said, I want to dive into both sides of this. First off, what the actual heck has happened to the Bills? They lose to the Jaguars. Yeah. Then they play the Jets, which is a bye. And then yesterday, they just get their hats handed to them. What has happened to them?
Well, I think, first of all, the Bills have a physicality issue that matters in football at the line of scrimmage. And then also, they make themselves one-dimensional on offense willingly. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do that to a team and you say, hey, we're really only going to throw the football, you take away 50% of the fear that they have. Defensive linemen, they don't fear any movement by the offense. They don't fear any movement by the quarterback. They don't think I have to play both plays. Where's the ball? Maybe it's getting run or it's going to be a pass.
And Dan, I give it back to you. No, it just struck me though when I think of the Buffalo Bills physicality, you know what I think? What? They have a very physical quarterback. compared to other quarterbacks.
Right.
Other than
Absolutely.
That, other than that, they have no physical presence. Mm.
And Rex, that's the point you were making earlier. They go up against the finesse teams, if you will, the Kansas Cities of the world. They look great. But then these teams that'll punch you in the mouth, they can't beat them.
No, absolutely. Look, we saw Tennessee beat them.
Right.
We just saw the Colts beat them.
Yep.
If they play Baltimore, they'll probably get beat. Like, that's what they need to prove.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, part of it. But you know what? It's hard to be physical, you know, on defense against those type of teams.
When you don't practice against it.
When you don't practice
Hell
against
yeah.
it. That's an
Hell
interesting
yeah,
way of
Rex.
Thinking about it. And again, look at the time of possession there. But now let's take a moment here for the Colts, who were basically left for dead at the beginning of the season.
He said it. I walked off set on him, too.
6 weeks ago, yeah. I believe that this offense was so good because it's the best run blocking offense in the NFL, okay? They've taken over from the Browns. And you saw it early on in that football game, the play calling by Frank Reich and how they design stuff. First of all, motion. Now watch what the motion does. It's gonna take a defender out of the box. And then they're gonna take their tight end, and this is called a sift. He's gonna go back across the line of scrimmage, take out the defensive end. Look at the angles and push you create for your offensive line. This is the start of the football game. I thought to myself, man, it's a good run defense, and the Colts got it. Now what they're going to do is zone read RPO at the same time. You get the motion, the defender follows him wherever he goes, and then now that safety's got the tight end as well. Wherever those guys go, they follow. Now what they're going to do is zone read the defensive end. If he stays down, Carson Wentz would keep that ball and turn it out to the perimeter. If he hangs outside, you've created 5-on-5 blocking for everybody to the left of your offensive line. Gash run. And then they use the tight end wham, a little bit of New England. That corner's got that tight end wherever he goes. The center climbs up. They're not going to block the defensive end. The tight end go block it right away. Right, you see that right there? He sifts or whams that defensive tackle. That center gets up on the linebacker. You're not arm tackling Jonathan Taylor. He's too fast and too strong. So, like, the run game for the Colts.
I
want to make a declarative statement. Jonathan Taylor right now after yesterday, because there's been so much up and down play. Yep. He's the MVP of the NFL. They got the best run game in the NFL, and they have the best run blocking offensive line in the NFL. Indy is going to be a problem over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, two teams that'll debate you on that, because right now Philadelphia is running the ball really well, and then Cleveland. I still think Cleveland can run it as well as anybody.
But the Colts, is that a team anyone wants any part of going down the stretch?
No way, no how. There's no chance about it. I mean, look, the only thing you worry about if you're a Colt fan or whatever is Carson Wentz.
Playing quarterback.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
That's the only thing,
Daniel.
That's directed at you, Daniel.
Poor Dan. You know what? Here's the thing.
He's got the second best touchdown to interception ratio in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, we basically do it extra because you're on here.
We have to forget about the left-handed jump ball he threw from his own end zone the other week. But that's neither here nor there. Here's the only thing I think we should say. Is that in an AFC where yesterday Tennessee loses an inexplicable game and the Chargers have been up and down and the Chiefs have been up and down. We thought the Bills were great. Maybe they're not so good. Anything can happen, right? I mean, literally
they all have their flaws. The thing the Indianapolis Colts is that they're going to have is something that they can always lean on. They can always lean on that run game. You can always lean on that run blocking. And physicality travels in this league.
Do you think their defense is top? I think Indy's defense is top 5 in the league, top 7 in the league. Right? So they got a run game and a defense.
You know what else? You know what else travels in the league? And a team that can run it and can play defense, you know what else travels? Coaching.
Yeah,
The New England Patriots are the team to beat in the AFC. As of right now, the team to beat
Boy, if New England
in the
go
AFC.
To the Super Bowl,
RC
cut up,
said
boy.
It first.
We are going to hear
I
it.
Can't give you that.
Cut up.
Coming up, who is the team to beat in the NFC? It looked like it was those guys, and then all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers, the leader of the pack, was his spectacular self. Wasn't enough. Was the real weakness in Green Bay exposed? And sneaky Hembo is ready for Rex. Rex, here it comes this week. Who has the record for the most receiving yards through two NFL seasons,
Ooh!
Meaning a player's first two seasons?
It can't
That's
be the
question.
Obvious answer.
The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. Sneaky Hembo, speaking of impossible, does Rex have it?
Thinking of phenomenal coaches, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of myself, obviously. I'm going to say Mike Shanahan.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Hembo, that's what I'm talking about.
Talk your talk, Rex.
Give it to him, Rex.
Yes. I owe you, Hembo. Drives me crazy.
We could have called you for taunting.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Take that in your face. Yes. Yes. I own you. I own you, Hembo.
No one doesn't find that funny. Here we go. Rex Sneaky Hembo. So the reason for the question, Justin Jefferson is on pace to break the record for most receiving yards for a player's first two NFL seasons. Who has that record?
There's no way I'm right on this one because I think there's an obvious answer.
Okay.
And I work with this guy on Sunday. I'm going to say Randy Moss.
He's second. He's second. The answer is Odell Beckham Jr.
Of course it is.
By less than 30 yards, by 29 yards, Randy Moss was second. It's a good guess.
Hembo knew.
Is Hembo going to do the whatever this thing is? Discount double check? Okay. All right. The reason we're talking about Justin Jefferson is because he was just ridiculous again yesterday. Well, let's show it to you. Green Bay in Minnesota. What a game this was. Aaron Rodgers, he's got a toe visiting the Vikings. Pick this thing up in the fourth quarter. Rodgers, Davante Adams, Dan.
This is a sick route by Davante Adams in the slot. Rodgers does enough of a job of holding off that defensive end and getting his guy the ball.
He had 7 catches, a buck 15, and 2 touchdowns, but Justin Jefferson was just as good.
Anything you can do, I can do better. You get all out pressure, and Kirk Cousins goes, my guy better than your guy, touchdown Minnesota.
He had 8 catches. So now, the Packers are down by 7. This is the first play of the next drive.
Yeah, it's sick. You see the safety cut the slant. Yeah. Now you got MBS in the slot. Woo-hoo! Outside leverage, woo! Field post, an absolutely perfect throw by 12.
That's an unbelievable play. Now, so the Vikings get it back with a chance to win, and Kirk Cousins tries as hard as he can to give the game away right here.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Greeny, defensive guys struggle to catch the football, you know, so he's just being aggressive with
Dan,
the football.
Dan, it's a terrible throw.
He's just being aggressive.
That is a ball he should not throw with 2 minutes left.
That's a hell of a play by Darnell
Savage. It should have been a pick.
Darnell Savage is not able to hang on to it. Then he throws another pass that probably should have been intercepted.
Yeah, hand-eye coordination by Thielen's great here, but Douglas is kind of in the way. The ball kind of just goes right by him.
Catch.
Thielen turns his head, and all of a sudden the ball's on him.
For the love of Christmas, just give the ball to Dalvin Cook.
Please.
It's really smart by Dalvin, right?
Yeah.
Kind of get yardage and stay in bounds to allow that clock to continue to run.
Yeah, they could have scored touchdowns. The Packers would have let them score
a
touchdown. The Vikings wouldn't do it, and they let Greg Joseph kick the game winner with 2 seconds left. That's really well handled by Minnesota that gets back to 500 with that win, despite 385 and 4 touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers, who's doing it with a bad toe. Here he is after the game.
I'm just going to have to get through the bye and hope I can get some healing over the bye week. Probably the same schedule next week. I was in a lot of pain, went in at halftime early to get it checked out. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very painful. Got stepped on in the first half, and that kind of activated all the symptoms I was having. So it's going to be another painful week next week, and then hopefully start to feel a little better in the bye.
All right, so there's a million directions to go in this one. Let's start with the Packers of it all, Rex, because we were sort of singing the praises of their defense.
Yeah.
Rodgers was unbelievable yesterday. What can we say about the Green Bay defense right now? Because that was the reason they were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but, I mean, I still believe in their defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, you wait till they get Jaire Alexander back and Za'Darius Smith. But, look, give it to Minnesota. Minnesota, man, I mean, that combination with Cousins throwing to Thielen and Jefferson. I mean, that's ridiculous. Oh, and by the way, you have Dalvin Cook, one of the best running backs in the league.
Yeah.
So it's hard to stop. But, look, I mean, Green Bay had 2 chances to win the game.
Yeah.
In the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And they missed both
the
of those
defense
interceptions.
You're talking about
the thing I'll say about Justin Jefferson, when you mentioned Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, they played the Chargers last week. Justin Jefferson catches a football on the sideline. Keenan Allen's sitting on the bench, and he flips it to him. Keenan Allen's one of the best route runners in football.
Hell yeah.
This week, he's standing opposite the sideline from Devontae Adams, who's also one of the best route runners in football. And there's no way you leave that game and don't say that Justin Jefferson is on the same level as those two guys. And he's in his second year in the league. Devontae Adams says he plays like a six-year vet. Now, go to the other side and remember that Adam Thielen is a number one. Dalvin Cook is a top-tier elite running back. And so any team that faces the Minnesota Vikings is going to have issues. And that's why I picked them. When Kirk Cousins plays at a high level, when Kirk Cousins is on his P's and Q's, when he's making great decisions, this team is almost impossible to stop. Mm-hmm. And we saw that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to let our conversation go without just saying a word about the performance of Rodgers yesterday. The guy hasn't practiced in 3 weeks. We all know about all the things that have happened there, and I'm not exactly sure how he hurt his toe during COVID quarantine. McAfee's going to have to ask him tomorrow. But one way or the other, he threw some balls. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he had three or four throws yesterday that were like jaw-dropping throws. It was early on, but pushing the ball downfield to MVS was really impressive. You saw it on a deep pylon. The scramble throw, this one.
DeGuar
touchdown.
A dime, bro.
That's physically impossible to be able to make that. He used his legs really well.
Yeah.
This was so creative,
right,
and patient and poised by the court. Like the touchdown throw to MVS was sick. He takes a huge shot on that one.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he had four or five throws
I feel like in the post game press conference he wanted to say, if you're looking for a healthy toe, I do not have one. But what I do have is a particular set of skills. And those skills will get you burnt the hell up. When you think about some of those throws that he made yesterday, whether he's injured or not, that's the Aaron Rodgers we're used to. That's the Aaron Rodgers that makes football players on his team better. There was no reason that this team should have been in the game, right? They were down big.
Right.
And the fact that Aaron Rodgers, every time he needed to make a play, he was able to do that without practicing, right? Without being on the field after COVID. I thought that was a big statement by him saying, I'm still that dude.
Well, coming out of the game yesterday, I think one of the questions that we get asked was, how big a deal is the toe going to be for Aaron Rodgers? Now, normally I'd be like, yeah, it's probably turf toe's terrible, but he threw for like 500 yards with turf toe.
Does the fact that he throws, like his throwing style is a little bit different than other guys,
he
right? He kind of throws off his back foot and can flick. Does the toe play less of a part in what he does as compared to other quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's a big, like, get force from the ground guy. I don't know what foot is in the toe, if it's the right or the left foot. I think because he has the ability to flick the ball. Like, he doesn't need his lower half to throw with velocity or accuracy, and the fact that he played so well with the toe, I think is a little bit of a difference. But how much it'll affect his ability to do this, like move, I don't know.
That throw
is
ridiculous.
Still remarkable.
Rex, super quick. I mean, the Packers were the NFC favorites going into the day yesterday. They were the one seed going into the day. Are they still?
Man, I guess, but this whole league, I have no idea.
Listen,
now.
I think with the whole league
running away,
we were talking about this yesterday. Ooh, the whole league is this: we know like six teams stink,
right?
And we know 26 teams are good.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a great team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really, really. It's the best year when it comes to. There's a lot of really good teams.
Cardinals got two wins with a backup quarterback.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of really good teams.
Dallas lost, and the Packers lost a crazy week. All right, let's go on the clock for some games that we haven't had much of a chance to get into. RC, you were talking about your guys from LSU, Burrow and Chase with Cincinnati. They win big over the Raiders yesterday. 30 seconds. What did you see?
I thought it was a huge team win. I thought Joe Mixon played extremely well. I thought the defense played well. They tried to find other ways to get the ball in Jamar's hands. I believe they need to move him around a little bit. Stop just throwing the deep ball. But Joe Mixon was huge in this game. Joe Burrow made the throws he needed to make. They put pressure on Derek Carr defensively, and they were able to run the ball and control the clock. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all you need to do on the road. Cincinnati Bengals got back in the win column.
All right, so they get that win. Staying in the division, Cleveland just eked one out against Detroit in a game that was about as ugly to watch as you could ever possibly imagine. Dan, what is your level of faith right now in Baker and the Browns? Go.
Never trust the toot. That's my level of faith. Never trust one.
Never trust a fart?
Toot. Never trust it. My level of confidence is about as low as it can get. This offense looks bad. It looks predictable. The offensive line didn't dominate. The quarterback didn't play well. There was no playmakers. They barely won the football game. I have concerns with leadership in the locker room going on. It's as little as it can get. Never trust
me. I mean, it's only fitting that you talk about toots and farts when it comes to a team that's called the Browns.
See, we did not workshop this conversation in the meeting, and I think we need to have a little bit of a conversation. All right, Rex. Let's get this thing back on track.
Here we go.
Justin Herbert, 30 seconds, go.
Best quarterback in the league? Yes, I said it right here, man. Look, he's so athletic. So athletic. He rushed for about almost 100 yards against it. You guys need to stop. Here's what I'm basing it on.
Yeah.
Hey, how good are you in the fourth quarter? I don't know, number one in the league? That's pretty good stat. How about the third quarter? Okay, he drops way down to number two in the league. Justin Herbert, look, the only way to stop him is his own offensive coordinator. Please let him throw the ball down the field a little more. Justin Herbert's the man.
He ran for 90 yards yesterday as well. We showed you that highlight earlier. Unbelievable game.
He's really good.
Against Pittsburgh. Justin Herbert. In a conference where everybody is questionable, you never know.
Yeah.
The Chargers could sneak around and win something. All right, Monday Night Football tonight, Pete and Eli on ESPN2. What more needs be said? The breakdown, Eli's former team taking on Tom Brady and the Bucs. A Monday Night coverage, of course, also available on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, the D in Big D stands for disappointment and despair. Our experts will tell you exactly what went wrong for Dak and the boys next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're watching Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. Now, this incredibly busy day, let's do the Sunday superlatives. Dan, what was the most impressive thing you saw yesterday?
This Philadelphia Eagles offense versus the New Orleans Saints defense. The best run defense in football had it put all over them. I love the way that Nick Sirianni and his staff are utilizing this offensive line to be the strength of the football team. They're putting Jalen Hurts' assets and skills in position where they can shine. Miles Sanders comes back and is a big-time playmaker. The Philadelphia Eagles offense, run game-wise, is diabolical. Dallas Goedert's making plays. Devontae Smith can't get covered. And Jalen Hurts is a playmaker.
Yeah, it's the Saints that they beat yesterday. RC, what was your biggest surprise from yesterday?
How bad the Bears defense was late in the football game. Yeah. You're playing against a Lamar Jackson-less offense, and you can't stop this team from scoring. Andy Dalton gets you in the end zone, gives you a chance to win this football game. You give up big plays to Sammy Watkins. You give up a walk-in into the end zone, and you just absolutely cannot do that. I understand you don't have Khalil Mack, but you have to make plays when you have an opportunity. This is a terrible loss for Matt Nagy.
Yeah, they only gave up 16 points, but that last touchdown was brutal. Rex, what was the biggest disappointment yesterday?
The Cowboys' offensive game plan. I mean, it was brutal and right from jump. And here's the bad thing. It got worse as the game went on, and they had no answers. They became one-dimensional. They let the Chiefs dictate the style of play and never had an answer. Hey, I get it. Make an adjustment, for goodness sakes. You know, you've got your two best receivers out, so let's find a way to run the football. They didn't do that.
Well, we've been talking about that a lot this morning. Now Dan's going to show it to us. You said that in some ways this felt like it was too big for the Cowboys. Show us why.
Yeah, I thought their communication was a problem. And one of the biggest issues in communication is the illusion that it happened. Now, when you go into this environment against this defense, one of the things you always have to be prepared for as an offense is zero pressure, meaning man-to-man coverage by everybody and then blitz by everybody else. else. And I thought this was a missed opportunity, but also the perfect image to show how much the lack of communication happened for Dallas. Okay, so I talked about the necessity for need for pressure or an air zero blitz. Now, right now, this looks like man-to-man coverage across the board, okay? Man-to-man coverage across the board. Now, you bring your eyes to these two linebackers in the inside. Those two linebackers in zero pressure, they're blitzers. Now, I like this, the fact that Dak Prescott's going to walk to the line of scrimmage and go, okay, here comes this pressure. Now, I want everyone to see Dak right now is just really talking to his offensive lineman, okay? Communication is verbal and nonverbal in football, specifically on the road. Now, watch Dalton Schultz up top, because Dak is still just talking to his offensive lineman, still just communicating to his offensive lineman. And Schultz is going to go, hey, man, what's the play? I need some form of communication from you. Look at Ezekiel Elliott down here going, hey, Dak, what's going on? I need to know what the plan is to take advantage of the zero pressure. Now, again, Dak Prescott last second, because what he wants, the perfect situation in this is one of those perimeter screens. You get everybody blitzing, you kick out the screen, and it's a walking touchdown. Now, the offensive lineman's going to get it. Their right tackle, Collins, is going to come out and pressure. But what happens is Ezekiel Elliott at the bottom of the screen, they don't get it. Here comes the pressure. Now, everybody, let's do the math here, okay? Here comes the blitzers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. If Ezekiel Elliott came out here and ran this perimeter screen with this lead blocker, this is a walk-in touchdown. Everybody is left. There's one guy here, but the lack of communication by Dak Prescott to everybody. Look, Zeke is looking back like, hey man, I didn't know we were running perimeter screen. Look at him looking back like, I didn't know what was going on. So the lack of the communication, both verbal and nonverbal. Remember Peyton Manning? Hey, you got to run to your guys and say, we're going to this. You got to run to your guys and say, doing this. There were four or five times in that football game, the poor communication by the Cowboys offense and Dak Prescott really hurt their football team. If they communicate that, that is a walk-in touchdown, and it's a one-score football game.
Everyone always says Kansas City is the loudest outdoor stadium in the NFL. Is that a factor in what he's talking about?
It is so hard to play there, and I think that's a factor, but Dak Prescott has to have some sort of preparation along with Kellen Moore to be prepared for that. They knew what stadium that they were going to play in the entire week, and so when you come into the game, when you're attacked by Steve Spagnuolo, you have to be able to make those adjustments. So on the sideline, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it, and here's the way we'll communicate.
What you do is you go to those guys. Like you don't just stay there. That's why I said, like, just look, and he's only talking to the offensive line. Schultz is going, hey, bud, what is it?
Right.
You could see by Zeke's presence, Zeke was standing up going, what's going on? You run to those guys across the line of scrimmage like Peyton Manning has done all the time and make sure they hear it. And Dak's usually good at it.
I feel a need to ask one more question. Anyone who watched that game yesterday, you heard Troy Aikman, who obviously knows the Cowboys very well, constantly making the point, why aren't they running the ball? Why aren't they running the ball? Why didn't they yesterday? Was there something Kansas City was doing that did not allow them to?
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City ran a ton of slot pressure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So from the passing streak, they're bringing a guy or whatever. But so what? That's been
you
around
can run
for years and years. Yes. And what you do, you bring back one of your receivers or tight end, bring him over and block the edge and then run the football.
The other part is this, too. I was wondering yesterday when you start to lose CeeDee Lamb, you lose Amari Cooper, when the thought would be, let's just go with people, right? Obviously, Dak Prescott's one of your best players, but Noah Brown is not. Cedric Wilson is not. Put the football in Tony Pollard's hand. Put the football in Ezekiel Elliott's hand. Get Dak Prescott outside the pocket because you're running the football, and now you can get into boot and play action. And I feel like they never made that adjustment to understanding who's left on the roster.
So all the good teams have had a bad day, but that's two in the last three games for the Cowboys. Have we lost faith in them? They were flying high. Are you losing faith in them?
No, not at all. I think it's, to be fair to them, five starters are out as well. DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, Tyree Smith, Amari Cooper, and then CeeDee Lamb was out really in the second half. So I haven't lost faith in them. I did not like the difference in effort, though, candidly. Yeah. I thought the interception that Jayron Kearse gets, and then you watch the chase down. Watch Pringle here. This is a team that plays with championship heart. Now watch Pringle, 13. Look at the effort to fight and chase down Kearse. Because I don't know if anybody else on that offense is going to do it. And Kearse gets caught. Mahomes throws. Pringle plays.
That's the big thing.
And I think that was one of the differences of the game. I know injuries were part of it. Yeah. But it felt to me like One team had the heart of a champion, and everyone was going to play with it. Yeah. And you talked to Tyrann Mathieu saying it weeks ago. Yeah. And one team was a little bit of wannabe.
And what's crazy, though, it was all offensively. Because I thought the Dallas Cowboys played well defensively. Yeah. They only gave up 19 points. But the offensive effort was different. The quarterback was a little bit different. The players, the skill players were a little bit different. The energy was different. If you see Tyreek Hill early in that game on the reverse, he's walking back to the huddle. Yeah. Like, let's go. Like, let's get it.
House.
I think this week of practice for the Kansas City Chiefs was at an elevated energy level than it was in Dallas, and it showed in that
game. Final word.
Yeah, I mean, one team was a champion. And one team was paper champion.
Hey, T-Bud Crawford and Sean Porter, man.
And they've got to play. A reminder, the Cowboys play Thursday for Thanksgiving, and then they play the following Thursday. So they have two games in the next 11 days.
They're still a very good football team.
Very good.
No,
they're
no
still
question.
Very good team. They better start winning some of these games. Tomorrow, we have the exclusive reveal of the next college football playoff top 25 rankings. What happens to Oregon after they got shellacked on Saturday night?
Put Cincinnati in.
Reason the crew will break them down from top to bottom. Where will Cincinnati be, Dan? We'll find out. 7 Eastern tomorrow on ESPN. Meanwhile, top of the hour here. First Take coming up on ESPN. Sure to be some fireworks coming up. The Cowboys' loss was the moment too big for Dallas. Stephen A. Molly, Michael, top of the hour. Don't miss it.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. And our weekend is not done. Week 11, Monday Night Football tonight. Giants, Saquon Barkley back against Brady and the Bucks. 8 Eastern here on ESPN. Don't forget on ESPN2, we got Peyton and Eli. Coverage starts with Monday Countdown, 6 Eastern. Tampa Bay is an 11-point favorite tonight. Over the past five seasons, Tom Brady is 15-7. Against the spread as a double-digit favorite. He is, however, just 2-6 against the spread in his career against New York. And we all know what's happened in the two Super Bowl meetings. So let's make our picks here. Monday Night Football, Giants, Buccaneers. Who wins, RC?
Tampa.
Okay, that's concise and to the point. He's got Tampa. Rex.
I'm going to roll the dice, man. Let's go. Give me the upset. I want the Giants in this one.
He's got Big Blue, the G-Man. Dan Orlovsky, who you got?
I'm going to take Tampa. It'll be interesting to see if the Giants run right at their defense without Vita Vea. I think Logan Ryan being out for their secondary, potentially being out, is a big deal.
Yeah, I'll take Tampa.
And I'll take Tampa, too, and I'll make it quickly because I want the joke. This is a Monday tradition. Dan Orlovsky with the joke. Go ahead.
I'm looking right at you. All right, teammate? I need you here. All right. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting sheep.
Interrupting sheep.
I like that one, too. I like that.
Oh!
We did some money.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Not only do you get excellent breakdowns on this show,
great host, you get
Rex's outrage, but we get very average jokes to finish the show, and we're
kind.
So excited about that.
We are.
Finish it up with a knock-knock joke. Thank you very much for watching.
We're professionals, guys.
First Take starts.
We're professionals.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.